Would you like to be seated? And to begin with, just turn to John 6, verses 16 to 21, which was read to us earlier by Rob, page 94, at the end of your Bibles. 94, chapter 6, 16 to 21. Well, Peter Jackson read earlier the section from Psalm 102, which is actually a psalm set for Ash Wednesday, which we've now passed. And listen to a few words from it again. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me on the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me, answer me speedily on the day when I call. And later in the psalm, he has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, do not take me away at the midpoint of my life. You whose years endure throughout all generations. You may ask how this relates to this passage. Well, the disciples were fearful. There were times in the lives of these disciples when they were mortally afraid. There are times in our lives when we are fearful as to what is going to happen, and we need help. The last time I preached at this service, I gave you the example of the young man having the brain operation who, in his fear, began to sing the modern song, 10,000 Reasons. There are occasions in all our lives when circumstances are such that we are afraid of the future. As Christians, therefore, we are no different from Jesus' disciples. And that in itself should be an encouragement. We are only human, and fear is a natural reaction of the human spirit to the unknown future. And this morning we are going to look at the disciples' reaction to the storm on the lake, and our reaction as Christians to the storms in our lives. And don't tell me that nobody ever has a storm, because everybody does, without doubt. So we're now looking at this passage from John 6. One of the things to remember is that this passage matches in many respects Matthew 14, 22 to 27. If you want to look at that passage, just note it down now. Matthew 14, 22 to 27. In both these passages, which must be recording the same instant, there is a storm, wind, and fear. But the fear, looking at our passage here in John, it's not just about the storm, but also the vision the disciples had of a person, perhaps a ghost, walking on the lake. Who was this person? I don't know what you feel when in a boat or ship during a storm. I am absolutely hopeless. At the end of our honeymoon, many years ago now, we came back on the worst storm I think they had that year. And who was the first to be sick? Me. So I'm not keen on water. Now returning to the passage, notice that when the disciples, verse 17, got into the boat, it was dark. And Jesus had not yet come to them. In John's Gospel, when the word dark is used by the writer, it, that is the word dark, or, if you like, night, indicates a dark happening. Here it indicates the storm to come. If we were to move towards John 13:30, and I'm not asking you to move now, but if you want to note it down, John 13:30, the going out of Judas is followed by the words, "And it was night." The word night means darkness, and there the dark happening to come is Judas' betrayal of Jesus to the Jewish authorities, and then his crucifixion because of this betrayal. Back to our passage, John 6. The lake, verse 18, becomes rough because a strong wind was blowing. The disciples continued to row, and then they saw Jesus walking on the lake and coming near the boat. As we have seen, the disciples seemed to think their sight was of a ghost. Terror set in. We mustn't forget that the disciples, like us, were fully human. Fear was an emotion they felt, just as we do. Of all the disciples, Peter was the leader, and yet he suffered fear, and just like the fear of the apparition that appeared on the lake. Remember his denial of Jesus when he was warming himself around the charcoal fire within the courtyard of the high priest. That's John 18, verse 27. Again, Peter denied that he was a disciple of Jesus. How could it be possible to deny the person he loved? And yet, having been warned that he would deny Jesus, verse 27, again, Peter denied that he was a disciple of Jesus, and at that moment, the cock crowed. What was Peter's emotion? Fear. Fear was the emotion of the disciples on the night of the storm. We have fear at times in our lives. The disciples were afraid, indeed, as our passage reminds us, terrified. But the apparition was Jesus, not a ghost. And Jesus' words calmed the disciples' fear. "It is I." Or if you like, "I am here. I am here. Do not be afraid." Then the disciples, verse 21, wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. The disciples' fear was taken away from them and substituted by their relief that they had reached dry land and were safe with their master, Jesus, the great I Am. The apparition and the storm which had produced the disciples' fear had abated. And then it fits so well into this passage, Philippians 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard their hearts and minds again in Christ Jesus, who was with them." I am, that is, God is present. Do you see? The disciples had Jesus with them, and that was enough to bring them peace. And it's the same with us today. If we know that Jesus is with us, whatever happens, there's peace to be had, and the knowledge that his will be done. And so, do we understand that whatever happens to us Christians in life, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, will be with us? And so, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. "This morning, remember, having examined your life, that Jesus Christ is in you." Of course, we have to test ourselves as to our faith. But I'm sure that most of us here this morning are committed to following Jesus, and that's sufficient. You have the presence of Jesus with you whatever happens. I will repeat that. You have the presence of Jesus with you whatever happens. I remember that when I was ill, and this truth changed everything. And who brought me through? The surgeons, doctors, and nurses, but finally Jesus Christ, as I was living in Christ, as St. Paul reminds us. I find it extremely encouraging that the disciples were no different from all of us. They were terrified. It was not just the rough water and the strong wind, as if this was not enough. Additionally, they saw this figure walking on the lake, and they wondered and were fearful. Was this their savior or some other bogeyman? Sometimes when we are ill, we have all sorts of thoughts running through our heads which bring us down. There are ways using which Satan wants to knock us when we are ill. Like, you're not going to recover from this, or you ought to do this, otherwise you won't get better. I encountered an interesting example some years ago now. I visited a lady ill in hospital, a lady who could not relax to help her recovery. Why? These are her words. "John," she said, "I cannot read my Bible and pray however much I want to." What do you do when somebody says that? I told her to forget Bible reading and prayer for the moment and not feel guilty, and explained to her that Jesus was present with her in the hospital in any case. What that woman needed to recover was peace of mind and an ability and strength to recover from her illness. Of course, she was a committed Christian. She then relaxed, so I found out later. And 2 weeks after her return home, she came to me and thanked me. From our hospital meeting, she had realized that Jesus, the great I Am, had been present all the time, and her worry and fear had therefore vanished when the truth of Jesus' presence had been confirmed to her. And that reminder had changed everything. And of course, when she came home, she read her Bible and she prayed, I'm sure with thanks for her recovery. So often we need this reminder, don't we? There is nothing so fearful as the breakdown of a relationship. But particularly these days, this occurs. We need to look over the world and we see how relationships break down. The person concerned is left on their own to cope with the future, often with children to care for. Of course, marriage is until death us do part, and yet divorce happens, even to Christians. For Christians who have tried to keep their marriage alive, don't forget that Jesus Christ is present with you, is still with you. You are not shut out of the kingdom, but rather need Jesus' help to weather your storm. And this situation can arise not just within an unhappy marriage, but within other relationships and friendships. How many of us have found that a friend of long standing won't even talk to us anymore, won't ring us up, won't bother with us? It's as if they've forgotten we exist. Someone doesn't want to be friends with us anymore. Or within a family, there is coldness between parents and children. You know what I'm talking about. You know what that does happen. Whatever happens, Jesus, the great I Am, will be present and help you through the storm of family problems. As Christians, God is with us always through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember the words of Jesus still in John's Gospel, John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. We must be careful to look at the frightening things in life, not just from an earthly point of view, but from a spiritual and heavenly viewpoint. The Lord is with us as Christians, whatever happens. This passage and the incident in John's Gospel, what are they about? Darkness, light, and life. Just think on the lake as the storm abated and the light came back. When at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, there was no wine. The consequent brought darkness for the guests. Jesus brought light by turning the water into wine. In incident after incident, to include the storm on the lake, Jesus brought light into a dark situation. In John 9, the man born blind received his sight. What happened? Jesus brought light into the blind man's dark world. Indeed, in this chapter, Jesus said, verse 5, I am the light of the world. We will only understand our passage about the storm on the lake if we understand that Jesus, that is the great I Am, brought light into the darkness of the storm. We all know that when a storm abates, it gets lighter, as I've said. In Psalm 54, we read, Save me, O God, in your name. This is exactly what Jesus did for his disciples on the lake. God, Jesus, calmed the storm, and the darkness in the minds of the disciples because of fear turned to the light of safety and peace, as we have seen. Their lives were saved, and any worry about a bogeyman abated. Are we now beginning to understand John's Gospel, the whole of it? Jesus is the light of all people, and his light shines in the darkness. Everything about being a Christian is about light in the darkness of this world. By example, if we become a committed Christian, we end up with two families, our own and our church family. If that isn't light in darkness, I don't know what is. Think what this means when life becomes hard. The answer, whatever happens by way of darkness, with Jesus, we still have light, even in that particular difficult situation. Do we see then that what this storm passage and many others teach us about our lives? Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and our believing this and accepting that Jesus is in us brings life in his name. I will repeat that. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and our believing this and accepting that Jesus is in us brings life in his name. And so to conclude, what a wonderful life the Christian life is for those who believe. And so this morning, be encouraged. Keep going in our relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that this relationship is a life giver in good times and bad. Amen. We're just quiet for a moment.